Track 4. News Vendor and News Maker. Slavery was at the heart of the Civil War. Artworks tell stories about African Americans, both enslaved and free. And images of African Americans have important stories to tell. Directly on your left, when you were facing the painting of Lieutenant Hidden, is case 112. On the right of the case, the top painting is Baltimore News Vendor. As we look at this man's clothing, we're wondering who he is and whether he is enslaved or free. Certainly the long turquoise coat, the top hat lifted in a gesture of festive greeting, his carefully buttoned vest, his white shirt, scarf, dark pants and shoes suggest that he has some money. His stance suggests pride in his work, and we aren't surprised to learn that in fact he is a free Baltimore man. Let's consider, however, if his facial expression matches his happy pose. Step up close to the painting. Is that a smile, as we think at first, or a grimace? Study his face. Isn't there something uncomfortable in his expression? Perhaps it's in his eyes, or his brow, or perhaps it's too hard to judge. In News from the Front, we saw a young woman reading the New York Times. Whitman wrote about the importance of the New York papers. Their headlines, in his words,
rang out over the land with the loudest, most reverberating ring of clearest bugles, full of encouragement, hope, inspiration, unfaltering defiance. Those magnificent editorials, they never flagged for a fortnight. They came in good time, for they were needed. For in the humiliation of Bull Run, the popular feeling in the North, from its extreme superciliousness, recoiled to the depths of gloom and apprehension.
What paper was this news vendor selling with a backup supply enterprisingly stuffed in his coat pocket? It is the Baltimore Patriot. Baltimore's newspapers couldn't have been more different from New York's. The Baltimore Patriot ran pro-slavery editorials. The news vendor, whose name was Moses, whether literate or not, might have preferred some other work, but the anti-black laws of his time made various jobs and businesses off-limits to him. But despite this painful irony, or because of it, the artist has given us a memorable portrait. Also in case 112 is another portrait, on top left. It's Dred Scott. Find a spot so you can see it without the light bouncing off it. Notice his clothing. He's wearing a full coat, a white jacket, a white shirt with cloth buttons, a black tie. He's well-dressed and has an afro, a bit of a goatee, a slight mustache. He's a presence, but it's his facial expression that clinches something important about him. What emotions do you see in his face? Notice his raised eyebrows, as if he's too astonished to be angry, but dismayed nonetheless, his mouth firmly set, his penetrating gaze thoughtful, calm, and determined. Look at his brow. The unknown artist has given him three double-curved furrows in his brow. The fact that someone photographed him and that a woodcut based on the photo was made and published in a newspaper, testifies to his importance. Perhaps you've heard of Dred Scott, who claimed that because he had been taken by his master into a federal territory where slavery was outlawed. He was entitled to be free. He sued all the way up to the Supreme Court for his freedom from slavery and lost. The Supreme Court countered firmly that the U.S. Constitution protects an owner's rights to his property. The North's outrage over the Supreme Court's decision against Dred Scott helped bring about the election of Abraham Lincoln, which in turn led to the South's decision to break away, secede from the U.S., which started the Civil War. In his groundbreaking 1860 Manhattan speech, Abraham Lincoln railed against this definition of enslaved human beings as property. Lincoln said that in the U.S. Constitution, whenever a slave is alluded to, he is called a person. The Constitution, said Lincoln, specifically excluded the idea that there could be property in man. As you look at this portrait, consider Lincoln's conclusion to this speech that led to his election as president, which in turn helped ignite the Civil War. Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith let us, to the end, dare to do our duty as we understand it.